Thank you, Shalane. Well, good morning, church. Good to see you all today. Before we get rolling with the sermon and whatnot this morning, I just wanted to take a moment and recognize, I think for many of us, it's been a week of headlines again, where we've seen tragedy kind of play out on the news over and over. And I was just sitting there thinking as Liz was leading us in communion and how much this week resonates with headlines like that. It seems like it doesn't quite fit. But Holy Week, Palm Sunday, the day in which Jesus is marching towards the cross, is a day in which he is declaring the cross, Good Friday, what we'll celebrate this coming week, is the day in which we are really protesting death and we're protesting violence. We're saying that doesn't get the last word. But weeks like this, it can be hard to remember that. It can be hard to declare that. It can be hard to sing the goodness of God in the midst of storms, in the midst of violence. I know as I've talked with a few of you this week, other senseless tragedies where death seems to be intruding in on us. You know, Paul in Corinthians has that rally cry, "Death, where is your sting?" And that's meant to be celebrated post-resurrection. But here, in this moment, before the Lord reconciles all things, before he returns, death still does have a sting. And we embrace that sting with a forward-looking hope that one day that will not be the case. Death will be no more. But for now, we sit with a sting. And we watch headlines and we see senseless violence portrayed over and over. So I just wanted to take a moment and pray for those whose lives were lost this week in Nashville, those in the tornadoes and whatnot that we've seen kind of ravaging the Midwest as well. So let's just spend a moment in the quiet, lifting up and our own prayers for those things and crying out for that Good Friday, that Easter to come. Lord, we come with heavy hearts, out of a full recognition, Lord, of death intruding on your good world. It is that. It is an imposter. It is an intruder. Lord, there will be a day in which you reconcile all things, and Lord, we long for that day now more than ever. God, I pray that hope over those families in Nashville whose Sundays look radically different than they did a week ago. Lord, we pray against the evil that's perpetuated all too regularly in our country. Lord, we pray for those who have been struck by storms and tornadoes and devastation. God, we need you. We need the hope of Easter. So, Lord, we pray as the church has for centuries. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. So, Lord, we lift up those families. May you shower them with a peace that transcends understanding. Lord, may you work in the churches in those places that they can rise up and care for people the way that you've cared for us. Lord, may we continually work to be your goodness, your hands and feet in the places that we find ourselves this morning. So Lord, as we take those elements, we take that communion as a way of recognizing that death does not have the last word, but Lord, it stings. And so God, we lift up that ache, we lift up that heart of ours that is longing for the day, the anger, the frustration we carry is indicative of a hope that we have. And so Lord, we sit in that, but we do not sit without hope. And so, Lord, we pray for you to come, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Well, this morning we are finishing up our series on Sabbath, which I hope has been a challenge for you. I hope it's been one that has maybe opened up new possibilities of how you can organize. I mean, at some level, what we've been doing in this series is just saying how you organize your time, something as benign as time, is in fact one of the more formative things you can do. We live in a rhythm, again, that the kind of secular world, and I don't mean that in a pejorative way, I just simply mean the non kind of sacred space of the church time. We live in a way in which the secular calendar sets the pace of our life. And if we are to kind of find ourselves within the rhythm of God, the rhythm that he has created in this world, we have to step into that with an intentionality. We step into that with a focus. And so for the past 4 weeks, we've been looking at this kind of ancient idea of Sabbath, something the church has practiced for thousands of years, and have simply said, what would it look like for us to cultivate a similar rhythm? Well, this morning, we're going to do something a little bit different, as you can tell by the stools on stage. We'll get there. But really, at some point, teaching reaches its end, and it's time to just try it out. And at some level, I'm sure there's questions and uncertainty. Of course, there's always going to be those things. But in some ways, I think we've taught enough about Sabbath. It's now time to try it. And so one of the driving kind of commitments we've made as we're rolling this, you know, vision out to reorganize our life around our community around a shared rule of life is I want in no way after doing kind of silence and solitude and Sabbath and in the fall we'll look at fasting and prayer and scripture and in all of these kind of new habits that we're trying to form and organize our shared life together, it is my task, my hope, a commitment to never leave you unequipped. And so much of this is driving into how do we equip ourselves for something like Sabbath. Well, I was reminded of that this week, and I don't know about you, if maybe you've had this same experience, but sometime around Wednesday, I think I was doing dishes. Years ago when Lindsay and I got married, almost 14 years ago, we divvied up the household chores. I hate laundry. I think it's the worst possible thing you could do. And so Lindsay raised her hand. She was okay with that. She took laundry. I took dishes. She hates dishes. And I'm like, well, this is a match made in heaven. We can do this. So for the 14 years, that's really worked for us. But one of the things I've noticed about these particular two chores is, you know, Wednesday I'm doing dishes. And it was right after I got home from work, mess in the kitchen, clean that up. And then I go and I sit with the girls and I do a little homework and whatever it is. And I come back and I'm like, right before bed, I look and there's another pile of dishes, seemingly larger than the one before. I'm like, how did that happen? I just did those. And my girls have this habit of using a cup every time they want to drink something. Rather than the same cup, we dirty another one. And so it's just this monotonous dishes upon dishes. I know Lindsay, if she had the microphone, she would say there are 12,000 pieces of girl clothes everywhere at all times, in which there's constantly a pile to be folded, a pile to be put away. There is something in this life that feels like it just marches on and on and on, right? If you've had that experience with dishes or laundry or whatever the other tasks of life have been, see, this is a sign of the sort of slog of life. And just because life goes on and on, just because it doesn't stop, doesn't mean that we shouldn't stop. See, there are times periodically in which we have to stop, we have to cease from the regular rhythm because it just goes on and on. See, this is why we need the gift of Sabbath. It's a cheeky example of something I think that is maybe a metaphor for much greater kind of tensions in life, but the reality is life just marches on and on. And unless we kind of say stop, unless we say cease, we get caught up in that and it slowly erodes us from the inside out. This is the gift of Sabbath. And if you've been with us, we've defined Sabbath this way. We have this up on the screen. Sabbath is the gift of regular rest and communion with God. It is an intentional weekly rhythm set aside to allow your soul to reconnect with God and disconnect from the world of distraction, hurry, and restlessness. See, Sabbath is a sort of kind of a stake in the ground, a line in the sand in which we say we will not just allow life to happen to us, but rather if we are to encounter God, we enter with an intentionality in which we say, Lord, I'm setting aside a day for you. And as you've heard, hopefully in these different video stories of people in our church trying to kind of navigate, what does this look like in my life stage, in my particular moment? We find and we bump into all sorts of different kind of questions and concerns. And I know I've had a lot of conversations with you guys of, can I do this on Sabbath? Can I not do this? And what is this supposed to look like? And isn't this an Old Testament thing? And this and that. And I want to just kind of say, like, it's a gift, as we've said over and over. I heard a pastor out of New York, Rich Velotis, say this week. He said, we don't keep the Sabbath keeps us. And I love that reframing of Sabbath because we can get so in the weeds. We can preach four-week sermons on Sabbath. We can do all of these questions and things of what is this and this. And we get caught up on trying to keep the Sabbath and we miss that the Sabbath keeps us. This is similar to, again, Jesus' teaching in Mark 2. For the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. See, we get this so twisted and distorted because we get caught up in good, healthy questions. This isn't to denigrate those. There's spaces to work through those. I invite you to come to the practice lab this evening, where a large part of that is us wrestling through those kinds of questions. How do we Sabbath? How does it? What does it look like on the ground? But I want you, if there's anything you take away from this morning, it's this. It's you don't keep the Sabbath. The Sabbath keeps you. It's a gift. It's something that's been given to us, created for us to regularly commune with the Lord. Real quick, before we invite some friends on the stage to talk about how they've wrestled with the Sabbath, I do want to look at this text in Isaiah 58. And this is a fascinating text. It's in a section of Isaiah in which Isaiah the prophet is kind of confronting the people of God of some of the failures they've made. And really it links back a few chapters earlier, and Isaiah is really concerned about the sort of injustice that the people of God have carried out over and over. And in Isaiah 58, the chapter begins talking really about this idea of fasting. And it says, like, you've lost the mark on that. And then it transitions by verse 13 to this idea of the Sabbath. And it says this: if you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, and if you honor it by not going your own way and not doing as you please or speak idle words, then you will find your joy in the Lord. See, at the beginning, Isaiah is concerned, and some translations on this first verse, by the way, if it says, if you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath, some translations will say, if you trample the Sabbath. So I think that's a good image. If you just stomp right over it, if you don't pay attention to it, if you kind of crush the Sabbath. He says, if you do that, And if you go on doing as you please on my holy day, which this isn't necessarily, remember that Isaiah is speaking to an entire people. He's speaking to an entire nation. He's not speaking to individuals, but rather he's saying, just like it was, I think it's in verse 3, verse 6, and verse 9 of this chapter, this going your own way is indicative of the injustice they had been perpetuating. If you turn this day into a day in which you just carry out the exploitation of others, just like the other nations do, if you go your own way with no regard for setting this day aside, he says, if you continually just do with the day as whatever you please and don't follow my invitation into that, he says, if you do that, so it's going to fall apart. But then he gets to that promise in verse 14. He says, if you can resist that, then you will find your joy in the Lord. And I will cause you to ride in triumph on the heights of the land and to feast on the inheritance of your father, Jacob. See, the hope of Sabbath, the promise of Sabbath, is that if you find your way into it, it will bring you the joy of the Lord. He says, if you can resist that, the pull will be towards doing as you please. He says, if you resist it, you will find the joy of the Lord. And the joy of the Lord is, I think, one of the most transformative things in a life of chaos, in a life of violence, in a life of pain and of hurt. See, Sabbath is the invitation to experience the joy of the Lord in your life. It's the invitation to actually orient the whole of your life around the joy of the Lord. Now, as we've been hearing from all these stories, as we've been trying out these different things with Sabbath, what we're finding is, and maybe you are as well, is that Sabbath, the freedom we have as New Testament believers, as Jesus teaching, you know, again, that the Sabbath was made for us, not us for the Sabbath, is that we have to figure out what it looks like for all of us. In a world like ours, it just looks different. That's the hope of these videos you've been watching, is it just looks a little different on how do we go about this Sabbath? How do we go about this practice? A big piece of that will be your life stage. What are the dimensions and particularities of your life? A big piece of it will be personality type. How do you set aside a Sabbath as an introvert or an extrovert or a people person or one who needs to hide away to recover and recoup or whatever that looks like? There's all sorts of freedom as New Testament believers on what this looks like. Paul in Romans 14:6 would say, some observe this day, others this day. And he just says, it's okay. We don't judge those who hold different days. There's freedom in how we experience Sabbath. And so what we thought would be fun this morning is to invite some people up from our congregation who have been figuring this out and just ask them a few questions about their own Sabbath practice. So I want to have you guys invite up these kind of friends of ours in the congregation. Would you guys welcome them? They're going to come up and we've kind of prepped a few questions they're going to share. And just kind of talk through what, again, it has looked like for them to practice Sabbath. We've tried to kind of get a good cross-section of really the church body of different life stages and hear what are the ways in which they're going about Sabbath. So I'm going to start down on the far end. And the first question I want you guys to answer is just share who you are, what's the uniqueness of your particular life stage, and then share what your typical Sabbath can look like, or at least what you're kind of aiming at. So Mark and Tabitha, let's have you guys start down the end.
Morning. I'm Tabitha. This is my husband, Mark. Together, we have three boys. Rylan is in 9th grade. Lannon is in 7th. And Brenner is in 4th grade. We're both teachers. Mark teaches 2nd grade. I teach 1st grade, and I work part-time. So our week is really busy chauffeuring the boys with all their different extracurricular activities. You would think that being part-time that there would be more time, but there isn't time. We're still really busy, even say on Saturday, prepping for the following week.
So we usually have Sabbath on Sundays. We're still trying to fine-tune our opening ritual, but it usually starts with worship here at church. We're here all morning just to make sure that all of us attend our respective services. Yeah, we're here for both the 9 and the 11 o'clock service. Afterwards, we head home for lunch as a family, and Tab and I are pretty wiped out from the week and then also just from the morning. So we take a much-needed nap, and the boys have their brother time, and so we think that's important. And so afterwards, we wake up, and devices are off, phones are put away, and we keep them in a separate room, and usually we just have a simple activity. It could be anything from taking a walk. Sometimes we might have a game night, movie night. We'll read, do an art activity. We have geckos, so we might have gecko time. But we keep it pretty simple. And then after that, we have a family dinner. And sometimes I'll cook, or sometimes we'll do takeout. And then our closing ritual is we always have a family prayer time. And so the boys share a room, and so we all crowd in the room, and we're all on the beds, and we reflect back on the week, the highlights of the week, and how God has worked in our lives. And then we also talk about the upcoming week and who or what we can pray for. And so that's how we wrap up our Sunday evenings.
My name is Forrest Jensen. This is Savannah Jensen. We're married. We've been married for 3 years now. And we have a almost two-year-old daughter, Lily, and three-month-old baby boy, Everest. Our journey with Sabbath has been pretty different, and it feels like it always changes. Right? We recently got married, 2020, had our first baby, 2021. Second baby, 2022. So with each transition, our Sabbath has looked different, and we're in a new stage now, and we're in the midst of figuring out what our Sabbath is going to look like. Usually it's some sort of breakfast on Saturday, and it might involve going on a hike or playing board games, and good conversation between us.
Which, by the way, when I talk about rhythm, 2020, 2021, 2022,
we're going
to have to
rhythm.
Break that rhythm. Yeah, at some point. We can't have a kid every year, all right? Yeah.
Noted. Yeah.
There is freedom, you know.
There's freedom in that, yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, I was just going to say, I mean, we do not have it figured out, clearly. But, I mean, I think what's been powerful, though, is that that's okay. You know, like, it's okay that we don't have it figured out, and there's been a lot of learning for us that the season can match what your Sabbath, or I should say the other way around, your Sabbath can match what your season is, right? Like, you just don't have to overthink it. And for us, sometimes our Sabbath is only 30 minutes, you know, so it, you know, because then someone's spitting up or throwing their food on the floor or needs a diaper change, like, it's quickly getting back into a routine just with our life stage right now. So even if we just set aside 30 minutes, that feels like a victory for us.
Yeah, the last thing I wanted to say was what I look for in a Sabbath is either rest, time with God, and then time with intentional relationship and having fun.
Yep. That's good.
Yeah. Good morning. My name is Teresa. I am a single, don't have children, haven't been married, and a little older than a young adult. I do work full-time. And I'm fairly involved with ministry here at CPC, and I love being around community and with people. Something that I wanted to share is that I do travel for work, and it is very tough sometimes to Sabbath because I am traveling on weekends. So something that I do try and do is at least take Sunday morning off and go to a local church or look at or watch a service online. Something else is making sure that I am not always working, because that's what I do a lot of. And I have a lot of good friends who are keeping me accountable in such a way. Before this series, I have to honestly say that to me, Sabbath meant just not working on Sunday. So I really didn't see that it was much more than that. So this has been very refreshing for me to look at how I can be actively involved in having a Sabbath. And then what's hard is sometimes I'm working on the weekends trying to catch up on work. So when I do work is not when I Sabbath. So if I'm Sabbathing on a Sunday, I'm working on a Saturday. So I'm very intentional about it, that as well. It's not always easy, but that is a way that I can kind of define that a little bit more. My Sabbath is starting to shape up. I'm still putting it together. I forgot to mention, I am also in a committed relationship. So that is a little something different. He is also going through learning about Sabbath in his community groups at his church. So it's very timely. And so either I, on my own, doing Sabbath, or together, we will plan to go to bed early, earlier the night before, and then take either one of us takes a morning walk. He might go exercise. Listening to the reading of the Bible, listening to music and singing along. I love preparing charcuterie plates or boards, and so I like to incorporate that in my time of delight. And then it might be watching a movie or going to a concert or taking a needed nap, meeting up with community. Again, love meeting with people. And then finishing the Sabbath time with praise and prayer. One thing I wanted to add is that yesterday at our Women at Work ministry, we received a Sabbath box. And I want to use that to store a candle to mark a beginning and end, to put my phone in it so that I can at least start off with maybe 2 hours off, and then to hold a written list of things that are undone, unfinished, that are kind of making me anxious, and just commit that over to God.
Teresa, I don't know if I've told you, but I also enjoy eating charcuterie boards. So this is a good thing. It's a good thing. Thanks, Teresa. Okay.
My name is Joan, and I get to be the LOL, the little old lady. And obviously, I am retired. I'm married. I don't have any kids, but I do work full time. I made a list. I'm Hazel, the housekeeper, Beatrice, the bell player and budget minder, Greta, the grocery shopper, Gertrude, the gardener, Mildred makes doctor's appointments and minds the calendar, Claudia, the caregiver and chauffeur, Constance, the chef, Sarah, the sobriety sponsor, and after over 40 years of sobriety, I still go to 4 meetings a week. I'm Lydia, the Bible study leader, and I'm Joan, my best role as Chuck's wife, but it's full time. And I did make a decision last year when Sabbath first came up that I wanted the first day of the week to be the Lord's Day. And that meant all day. Usually it was just go to church and I'm done. And I love sports, so it was nerd out in front of the TV. And I knew it needed to be different. So I'm an early riser, and I take an hour walk with the dog and Jesus every Sunday morning. And I love when my house is clean, and I figured Jesus loves when the temple's clean. Mm-hmm. So I need to do business in the morning, and Jesus told that weird story about 10 church ladies, basically, and five of them didn't have oil in their lamp. So I need to do an oil check. That means I do fruit inspection. You know, how did I do this last week? Was there love, joy, peace, self-control, all those kinds of things? And I'm old, I'm getting weaker, and I will never stand strong if I don't have the full armor of God on. And, you know, I found it's very different knowing what it is and wearing it. And so I take care of that kind of thing, and then I start getting excited about church. I can't tell you how much this place and you people, you are my family and what you mean to me. And I know that I'm supposed to be devoted to prayer and to worship and to the word, and I get to do those things here with my church family. But that was usually when my Sabbath ended. Yeah, I didn't realize I was doing that, but it was more a me day than a thee they day. I can't even talk. you know what I mean. So contrary to most of you, I turn this on, and I don't even know how to do three quarters of the things you guys know how to do with a phone. But I reach out and make contact with people who maybe have moved away or people I know that need a word of encouragement. And I've also found that in turning the TV off, there are all kinds of, it's like an adventure the rest of the day, and there's nothing that's been typical about it, but just a couple of little things. I got to adopt a six-year-old here at church whose family is all, they moved here. He's in the military. Daddy travels a lot, so I've adopted, I get to be a Swedish mormor to this little six-year-old, and I started a mentoring program for inmates who are doing Bible study, and I get a lesson every week to read over and make suggestions and pray for them and all kinds of things like that. They're just, it's an adventure. And so I can honestly say I get truly excited about the Sabbath, and that's never been true before in my life. I enjoyed it, and I knew it was supposed to matter, but now I know it really matters.
Yeah. So good. Joan, you guys don't know, I tell her this all the time, but I don't know if there's a person alive who's challenged me to follow Jesus like Joan. She has been such a gift, and particularly as we've had these Sabbath conversations that have been just inspiring to me as well. So thank you for sharing that, Joan. And that's a whole laundry list of people there. That's a whole, that's all I got. That's like a basketball team of roles you take on. Well, you know, as you've heard, again, these different life stages also not just make their Sabbaths look different, but it poses different obstacles and what you guys are kind of challenged with as you overcome those. So I want to pose that question. You know, what are for you guys, what are the biggest obstacles you've had to think through kind of in your own Sabbath practice? So let's start back down with Mark and Tabs.
This happened recently, a few Sundays ago. We needed to be flexible with our Sabbath recently. You know, I had shared that we celebrate it or recognize it on Sunday, but Tab had a church meeting in the afternoon, and then our oldest, Rylan, he had an extracurricular activity in San Francisco, so we had to split up. So that really threw things off for us. And so knowing that this was coming, we had to plan ahead. So we decided to split up our Sabbath on both Saturday and Sunday, and so we started Sabbath around dinner time and all the way through the evening. So we had to do that. So yeah, two evenings.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, and actually someone in our community group knew that this was happening and had asked, well, you know, how did it feel? And whether or not we could feel a difference. And for myself, I said, absolutely, I could feel the difference because that rhythm, it's in my personality. I'm very routine, and I like my rhythm, and when that rhythm is off rhythm, then I get thrown off. And so I think the challenge is that Sabbath doesn't always, it won't always look the way I want it to due to our schedules, but I recognize that I need to let it go and still enjoy what Sabbath has to offer.
That's good. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, Sam Forrest.
I think for there we go. I think for me, setting time aside has been a challenge, but also defining Sabbath. I think it's hard for me to do something without knowing what I'm supposed to do. So defining it and then just saying, do I want to actually do this? That has actually been tough for me because I find myself always wanting to stay busy, and but also living in the Bay Area, I mean, you got to work, you got to make money, and that has always been a tension in my life where it feels like I have to provide for a family, but in reality, God has been saying, you know what, you don't have to work. I've always been thinking of Sabbath as thou shalt not work on a Sabbath, but it's more, for me to think of it now, it's more of you don't have to work. You don't have to provide today. Just rest in me.
Yeah, and I mean, I would add to that, it can be a challenge for us to just plan ahead and set the time apart, especially because we just have not really had a rhythm the past 3 months with newborn life, and he's been home from work on paternity leave, and so there hasn't really been like a consistent schedule to work with. But I think just for us, it's been as simple as just spending 30 minutes at a meal or, you know, talking together about the Bible, even with our two-year-old and our three-month-old, that starting that as soon as possible so that they're saturated in that is possible, but we have to plan for it. I mean, for me, I think my struggle is I can tend to want to just escape from what's happening in my life, right? Like, just be distracted by a good story, like a good TV show or a good book, and those in and of themselves are not bad, right? But if I'm looking to them as my, I mean, pretty much the way to rest or the way to get unplugged, it doesn't fulfill me, right? And it's not really resting my soul, I've had to learn. So I think we've just had to think through those things of what is it that I'm looking to escape from as opposed to running to God instead.
That's good. Yeah, Teresa.
The things that have been helpful for me is keeping things simple and remembering that Sabbath is between God and myself, mm-hmm. And then also doing some prep work beforehand so that I'm not caught trying to prepare during Sabbath. So biggest obstacles, actually believing that rest is earned, that's actually a really big part of my struggle, and that it can only really be enjoyed when my task list is manageable, and then it's really hard to leave tasks undone, incomplete, and then it brings more work later on. So those are some of the challenges that I have. Fear of missing out on things, and then protecting Sabbath on my calendar. That's really tough. A lot of things come up, and those are honestly just challenges that I have. But I remember that I can rejoice in the Lord no matter what, and so that keeps me going and trying to seek out Sabbath.
That's good.
For me, I really started with an attitude adjustment that this wasn't going to be a have to, but a get to, and that there wouldn't be anything obligatory about it, but that whatever I do today is out of my devotion, my love for Christ. And I've had to work at remembering to give Hazel, Beatrice, Gertrude, Greta, and Mildred the day off. And that's been different. And in Bible study, we've been studying Isaiah. And over and over and over again, it's listen, look up, wake up. And I need to be alert and pay attention to what really matters. The big obstacle for me is I'm a real getter done, make a list, have an agenda, and to have my hand be open and to just let today be an adventure with Jesus. His creative genius is amazing if I'll take the time and get out of the way.
That's good. All right, we just got a couple more minutes left, but I want to end with a question of kind of moving from the obstacles of what has been the greatest joy that you guys have experienced in Sabbath, and maybe even with a lens towards how has it been formative kind of in your life? So kind of quickly, how could you share that?
Okay. I think turning the devices off is great, especially with our boys. Just everyone's in the moment. We're talking together. You know, you're in tune with one another. And it's just made it so much richer, I think, our time together. The simple activities like a walk just clear the mind, you know. I feel like it resets me. And I see it also in our boys, too, when we do that. Just the intentional rest is needed. You get recharged. It's so helpful. And I'm so glad that, yeah, God provides us this time. And with Sabbath, yeah, I get a chance to reset. And because I get to unwind and recharge, I feel like personally, like I'm a better husband, a better father, a better teacher. And I'm not definitely far from perfect, but it gives me a breather, you know? And I really feel like, it's a fresh start. So it really helps a lot.
We're hearing the word intentional a lot. Intentional time in recognizing praises in the week is definitely a blessing. And just having that designated space to not work has been refreshing for me. Sabbath is something that Mark and I didn't really grow up with. So I think one greatest joy is that we're able to instill it in our boys and see that they're seeing that this is an important habit for themselves as well. And Sabbath does feel like it is family time, but I want to add that our Sabbath is set apart from the other days because of how we're connecting with each other and that it is on a deeper level without distractions.
That's great.
Yeah, for me personally, I would say similar to what Mark was saying is when I do practice Sabbath, I notice I don't have as much anxiety about the week, you know, about what's coming. And in turn, that makes me a better wife and mom and just better friend and, you know, helper to people that happen to show up in the week. But also, I would say there, I was thinking this morning that when we've practiced Sabbath in the past, I remember there was one morning we were just doing our breakfast together and hanging out, and our neighbors texted us, and they said, hey, we're going to Costco. Can we get you anything? And I was like, whoa, God, that's so cool. Just seeing how you provided something that I knew I needed, but I was just laying it aside to practice rest and to trust that you have it all. And they got us diapers, which are not cheap. So that was a huge blessing for us.
Yeah, I think the greatest joy for me is just getting closer with, you know, people around you, and also just getting real rest. You know, growing up, I never thought of Sabbath as a gift or at least a good gift. It always kind of felt like getting clothes on Christmas. Like, yeah, that's a gift, but am I excited about that? No. But, you know, the idea with having two little kids now, I'm loving the idea of a Sabbath.
That's awesome. That's good. Yeah, Teresa.
Well, last year I was put in a spot where I had to take a break. I needed one. I've needed one. God put me in a spot where I had to have surgery and recovery time. And so I was kind of in a place of forced rest and stop. And because of that, God gave me this wonderful time, uninterrupted, for the most part, when I could, to spend time in prayer. I got to read. I got to listen to music. I got to color a coloring book and enjoy just a bunch of different things I normally wouldn't. It was so refreshing. And I liken my time with trying to get Sabbath together now and shaping that as intentional, wonderful time where I will be refreshed and having that feeling of abundance and being able to experience joy and overflowing so that in that I can share that with others. I can share God's goodness with others and be used by God in such a way.
That's good. Thank you.
I would just say the greatest joy is knowing that I've tried to please my King, be with Jesus. And probably the biggest surprise is it's changed Monday through Saturday. It gets it right-sized. And I get to start every Monday morning with fresh wind in my sails. And I'm so grateful for that. Thank you, church. And I still have a long, long way to go to have less Joan and more Jesus. That's my goal.
That's good. Gosh, well, thank you guys for, one, trying it out, experimenting with it, working through those obstacles, sharing your own kind of struggle. I think I've just been so blessed by so many of the stories we've heard, whether on the video from you all, is that this is in progress. Those things, and that's okay. I love that word practice. We're trying it out. We're trying to take a step of intentionality towards that. So thank you guys. I want to honor your guys' just practice in that and bringing that before us as well. So you guys just kind of applaud them. Thanks, guys. Well, as we mentioned, you know, this is the kind of final week, at least from stage, that we're teaching on this, but we've designed all of these habits, again, not to be just the sermon series and then finish, but rather the hope is actually from here we launch out, and for the next really like just about 6 months, the goal is for you all to now try to incorporate that. I know many of you have already begun to try to figure this rhythm out, but I just invite you to continue to lean in. Continue to lean into what Sabbath could look like. Talk with one another. Talk and troubleshoot with people in your own life stage and differences and all those kinds of things, because it is a difficult task. It feels so foreign in our world. Our world is set up without rhythm, without Sabbath. And so to cut against the grain in that way poses all sorts of challenges. But we invite you to try it out and give it a shot and weave that in to what it could look like. Remember that in all of this, what we're actually asking you to do is less. It can feel like a lot, but we're actually inviting you to do less. To take a day where you retreat away, not more, not add on, but to do less. Remember the Sabbath, we don't keep the Sabbath keeps us. And I can't help but think again of Jesus' words in Matthew 11, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. That's our hope, that rest for our soul in the very presence of God. So will you guys pray with me as we finish out the service in a moment? Lord, we do thank you for this gift of Sabbath. In so many ways, Sabbath is this moment in which we rehearse our insufficiency and learn to trust in your sufficiency. And so God, I pray that as we try this out as a church community and the different obstacles and joys that we encounter, Lord, may they do that transformative work within us. God, we offer not just our minds, not just our intellect, but our whole lives, Lord, our calendars, our wallets, our day-to-day living, our families, our hobbies, our interests, Lord, everything about us, we lay before you. And God, we want them to be shaped into your image, Lord, more and more. So God, would you help us with this? Would you help us with this practice and this habit? May it be moments in which we set aside rhythms to encounter you, Lord. We invite you into those spaces, and Lord, may we grow in our trust of you, because Lord, you do provide for us. And so Lord, may we practice that in Sabbath. Thank you for this gift. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.